You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks, the dating edition. If a guy does that, marry him. If he slurps like that, marry him. If you don't, you're missing out on one of the greatest prizes in life. So,
it's ratings week. Yeah. Sweepstakes edition.
Sweeps. That's right. If a guy does that and dribbles it all over his shirt, yeah, I'd probably let that guy go. My wife just broke up with me. Now, let's preface this by saying that you just celebrated 40 years of marriage, right?
Yes. Yep.
And we in June, 36 years of marriage. So I think we could consider ourselves a bit of an expert.
An right? expert on what?
Marriage.
Well, not an expert on women.
Because no.
Because I'm learning more about my wife every day, and she changes every day. So our marriage is never dull. You know,
Men don't realize this.
So no, I started dating her. Go ahead.
Okay, let me say this first. Most men don't realize this, that when men are sleeping, women get together in a secret meeting, a global meeting, and they say, okay, here's the rules. We're going to change them now. And guys don't realize that every day there's new rules that we don't know about because we're sleeping. That's what happens. Go ahead. Tell me your story.
Well, then if we're going to talk about secret meetings, we got to talk about the ones where the dads take their sons and they teach them how to pull their finger and recite the Pledge of Allegiance while belching and all of those kind of things, too. So,
I was never part of those meetings. I'm refined.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Denise and I started dating in the spring of 1978. And to this day, if we go to a McDonald's drive-thru, I'll say, okay, what do you want? You know, there were like two cars before ordering. What do you want? Mm-hmm, I don't know. I want to look at the menu.
Oh, yes.
And I'll say,
oh, yes.
The menu hasn't changed much. You know, and since we started dating in 1978, yeah, they had salads and, you know, well, I want to look at the pictures. Okay. You know, now, Denise, no matter what restaurant we go to, if we have been there before, she could probably go ahead of me and order for me, and I'll get there and sit down and go, all right, just what I want. But to this day.
Right.
I couldn't quite tell you what Denise is going to order, even at McDonald's.
Oh, no.
So we are not experts on women at all.
Yeah. Ruthie and I have been trying to refine this for 36 years because here's what she'll do. She'll say, okay, let's split something. And I'll say, okay, what do you want? She'll say, I feel like ribs.
I've been there with you. I've seen it.
I know. I'll say, okay, ribs. So I'm thinking, I'm getting out my mind. And I'm the guy that I gotta think about it. I gotta psych myself up. So I'm thinking ribs. Yes, we're having ribs. We get to the restaurant. She goes, I think I'm gonna have chicken. I'm like, what? You can't do that. You can't change. I said, you said ribs. She goes, well, then just get what you want. I said, then why did you say that in the first place? Because now I'm thinking I can't eat ribs. I can't eat a whole thing of ribs. And so that happens. And I'll say to her, where do you want to go? She'll go, I don't care. She'll always say that. I don't care. I'll say, well, then let's go to, how about this place? No. How about this place? No. Well, that's where you really wanted to go in the first place. So why didn't you just pick that place in the first place? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, man.
Now our ladies need to get on this podcast and refute all of these things and tell what we do wrong, which maybe they could have a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's all.
Tell everything that we've done wrong in a minute and a half. Yeah.
Well, I've got it down because my wife would tell you, I know this. If I say to my wife, where do you want to go to eat? Her number one place, she loves it. She'll go there every time. Costco. She loves Costco. Not for the samples. She loves the hot dogs. She loves the pizza. And she loves the ice cream. She loves Costco ice cream. And she's an ice cream hound. I mean, she loves ice cream. So that's a very easy one for me. But other than that, it's a little tricky sometimes. Yeah. Bad dates. Bad dates. Have you ever had any?
You know, I haven't had much, you know, but I have been around when other people have, oh man, it was terrible. There was a guy, now I'm going back to where I was in like sixth grade, and your sister-in-law, Joyce, this singer, I could give his name, but I'm not going to. But, you know, he was going around singing at churches and things. And so he asked her out. And so she came over to our church in Painesville thinking that they're going to go on a date. They just went out where everybody else went. You know, so they're sitting there among all of these other people. Yeah. And he wound up, you know, his food came. And she didn't get much, you know, but he's got this giant meal.
Yep.
And he accidentally spills the drinks all over, you know, all over the table, and then it goes all over her. He jumped up with his plate and kept eating while she had to clean things up. And he's, you know, wanting some kind of a waiter or waitress to come over. And, you know, so he's standing there with his plate, shoveling his food in his mouth. Well, she's having to deal with all of this stuff going everywhere and all over her. And I mean, I was, I think, in sixth or seventh grade, maybe eighth, but somewhere around there. And I was thinking, wow, that guy's a jerk.
Oh, my. I won't ask on air, but afterwards, I think I knew who that was. I think I knew who the guy was. You got to tell me if I'm right.
Then they started calling him the round mound of gospel sound.
That's who it is. I knew it. That same guy sat in front of me at a preacher's meeting one time, and he got pretty well known. And
yes.
He's sitting in front of me, and he took his dress shoes off in the meeting, and I looked down, and there was like no sock on the bottom of his foot. They had rotted right off.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, what in the world? Way to go, Joyce. She dodged a bullet there. Wow. I still tease her about that guy.
To this day, she remembers that, I guarantee you.
Oh, man. I've seen guys go out on dates, and they're sitting with their girlfriend, and another girl goes walking by, and that guy gets caught looking at that girl. And I've seen some girls go ballistic when that guy looks at that other girl. Oh my goodness, that's funny when that happens. And to see that, oh my goodness, bad dates. Wow. I've had some bad dates in my life. And one of them was I took a girl out, and my dad said, don't buy a car. I've got an old pickup truck. I'll let you use that. And it was his work truck. And it was junk, man. It was beat up. It was terrible. And so I used that truck. Well, the problem was the gas gauge didn't work. And he always kept a can of gas in the back of the truck in case it ever ran out. He could get to a gas station or whatever. Well, I didn't realize that he had used that gas.
Oh, man.
So I've got this girl. We've gone out. I'm taking her home, and the truck runs out of gas. And I said, don't worry.
The oldest excuse in the book.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I said, oh, man, I'm out of gas. And so I said, don't worry. I said, there's a can in the back. I'll just put it up, and we can get home. Well, if it wasn't out of gas, so I said, okay, here's your choices. You can wait in the truck while I walk a couple of miles and get some gas, or you can walk with me to get some gas. And so she ended up walking with me for like a couple miles to get gas and walk back.
No cell phones, man. It was all pay phones or home phones. Right. You know, you'd generally, if there was a house around, you'd knock on the door. I'm so sorry, I ran out of gas. Can I use your phone to call my parents? You know, I mean, it just.
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. So that was relived many times by that girl later on. Of how, you know, I took her out in this piece of junk truck and ran out of gas. And so, yeah, that was my story. That was mine. Oh, man.
I can remember some hilarious stuff in college. You know, one of the things that I wound up doing, one of the worst dates that I wound up having was we're going to a Valentine's banquet, a college Valentine's banquet. And so, you know, almost everybody rode college buses to get to this fancy place. And we'd gotten tickets, bought tickets, and as well before cell phones and digital stuff and things. And so I get there and I realize I don't have the tickets. And they kept saying, "You don't have a ticket. You can't get in." And so I told Denise, I said, I don't have my ticket. I got to go back. I'll be right back." And so now I'm asking all kinds of guys, you know, "Do you have a car? Did you bring a car?" And no, I rode on the bus with everybody else. And, "Do you have a car?" Finally, I found a guy who was four dorms down from me, you know, four rooms down. And he let me borrow his car, and I go taking off. It was one of these old, big old heavy things, you know, that was sort of a semi-classic. It wasn't in beautiful shape, but, you know, he wanted to hang on to it because one day. And so as I'm leaving, he said, "Watch out for the brakes." Well, I never heard him. So I'm in a hurry, and I'm going down to US 30, which is 60 miles an hour back then. And there's a stoplight, and I press the brakes, and the vehicle slows some. But does not stop. And I hit this brand new Cadillac and pushed that trunk all the way into the back seat. His car did not hardly have a scratch on it. You know, it's just one of those old tanks, you know. And so now, you know, I had to somehow get him. Well, the police, when they show up, they go get the guy, you know, and then he comes, and because it's his vehicle and his insurance. And, I mean, it wound up being an all-night thing, and I never even went to the banquet. You know, whenever I finally got back there, they were done, you know. And so from that point on in college, they would always say, "Now make sure you bring your tickets." One year, one guy didn't bring his tickets, and he wound up missing the whole banquet and getting a car. You know, and everybody's looking at me laughing. You know, like, "Oh, brother." So we made college history.
Let me tell you about the best date and worst date all in the same one. So I was dating a girl, and I knew that I wasn't going to marry her. I knew I didn't love her. And I wanted to break up with her, but I didn't want to hurt her feelings and stuff. So I go to the SMITE program in Cleveland. I meet my wife, and we hit it right off. And I knew. I told my buddies, "If I get to date this girl, I'm going to marry her." And so I'd written Ruthie a letter, and she wrote me a letter. And so she said, "Hey, it was great getting to meet you. We had so much fun. Thanks for a great time, blah, blah, blah." And I thought, when I get home, I'm breaking up with that girl because I want to date my wife. And my wife. And so I take the letter and I throw it in the glove box of my car. And I pick that girl up and I said, "Hey, I want to take you out tonight."
Oh, yes.
And I go in the house and I get my hockey equipment. I'm going to a hockey game that night.
Oh, yes.
And so I grab my stuff and I throw it in the car. And so I stopped and I said, "You know, I think maybe we should start seeing other people." And she said, "Oh, you mean like Ruth Thompson?" And I'm like, "Well, I said, maybe, I don't know." And I said, "Why would you say her?" He goes, she said, "I opened a glove box and I found that letter and I read it." I'm like, "Okay." That was the end of one and the beginning of the right one. So, but that was very awkward, man. When she said Ruthie's name, I'm like, how does she know? I just got home. Nobody would have an opportunity to talk to her. And here she's going through my glove box. So, hey, if a girl's going through your glove box or your car, don't marry her. She's sneaky. Don't do it.
In college, two guys who were twins were dating two girls who were twins.
Uh-oh. Wow.
And they would try to confuse each other on purpose.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
they were pretty close, you know, and they got used to, you know, being around each other, and so they'd try to pretend to be the other person sometimes, you know, with each other. That was pretty funny.
Oh, man. I can't imagine that. That'd be That'd be tough. Wow. Yeah, I had a buddy who dated twin, but they didn't look enough alike that they could confuse you. So, yeah, that was something.
Bob Folger always loved telling the story about he was out at a drive-in restaurant, and some guy came and beat him up or fought him.
Yeah.
Because he was dating his girlfriend, and he's like, "No way, pal!" You know, so he wound up getting a fight, and it was his brother who was dating that girl.
That's right. I remember that story. Well, we've been telling these stories because this week we've been talking about, you know, having a right relationship before you get married, how to do that, and we tell these stories today to tell you, you know, a little levity. It got pretty heavy on Wednesday, but to tell you that. You know, when you start that relationship on a date, you ought to have a lot of fun on a date. That's to me was always, I wanted to leave her thinking I had the best time. And guys, I'll give you some pointers today, how to have a great date. Number one, take a shower, comb your hair, shave, do everything you gotta do. Make sure your car is clean. Have a clean car. Open the door for the lady. At the restaurant, in your car, do that stuff. It never hurts to bring her something. And if you really want to score, bring something for her mom. Bring some flowers for her mother. You don't have to do this every day, but at least the first one. Bring something for her mother just to say, thank you for allowing me to date your daughter. Something like that. The dad, you can if you want, but I'd be careful about that one. That's kind of tricky.
Dad should see that and go, you jerk.
Yeah. Exactly.
You're a flim-flam man.
The mother.
A con artist.
Right. And then when you take that girl out, man, treat her like the princess. Treat her very well, you know. Take her to a nice place. If the best you can do is McDonald's, then make McDonald's an awesome experience.
Yep.
Bring a tablecloth with you and a candle. Put it up in McDonald's. I don't know if you could light it, but, you know, just something to make it memorable. And, you know, every date that I have with my wife, I try to think of it as if it was the first date, and I want her to have the time of her life. I love surprises. I love being romantic, all of those things. And that has been that's been a great help in our marriage to try and keep that spark in our marriage, just to do surprise things like that. And it takes some work. It takes some time. And I tell guys, if you can't afford to take a girl on a really nice date, then don't date her. You don't have to spend a lot of money, but you need to invest time and energy so that it does go well, and you don't have one of those dates that turn out bad like we're talking about. Any advice you want to give to a guy or a girl?
Yeah, just be yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you get when we're talking about still in high school, I cannot encourage you enough to try to group date. That's mm-hmm. so much fun. And the pressure's not there of trying to impress somebody. You know, I mean, if you're not a funny person, maybe the other guy is, and, you know, you can all enjoy yourself. And, it just helps so very much many times. And you're interacting. So if you're not there, if you're not dating just to be physical, you have an opportunity to have a really enjoyable time with somebody else. So if you're still in high school, no pressure. You're in college, you're starting to get a little bit more serious. You get out of college, and now you're starting to get a little bit nervous, you know. Right. So, but just be yourself and learn to enjoy to be around that other person.
Yeah, talk about bad dates is when you go on a group date and everybody wants to play volleyball and the girl you brought wants to just sit on the sidelines and watch. That's sometimes an indication that things aren't going to go well. Or, you know, you go out on a group date and all of your friends are yucking it up and the guy you're with is sitting there with his arms crossed and he's all, you know, out of sorts. Probably
yeah, you're not
the
paying
best
attention
choice.
To me, you know. Dump the
exactly.
idiot.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. So those are some things that helps with. And then, you know, as you get older, you get into college and stuff, I think you do need to at some point have that discussion of what do you think about children? What do you think about, you know, career and some of those things and find out some of those things. And as you said earlier, as you get older, you need less time to discern sometimes who a person is. You can kind of see those qualities in their life. And But early on, you need to decipher those things. And I would say, I used to tell young people this, and then this was, you know, not necessarily my experience, but I kind of wish it was. Don't start getting serious about dating till you get to college. And I would say your sophomore year, your second year of college, then start getting a little more serious. It's okay to go out and have fun with people. You know, go out with a group of people. If there's some girls there, great. If there's a girl that you have fun with, great. But if you fall in love at 16, when are you going to get married? 20, 21, today, 25, 26. Are you going to date somebody and keep yourself, you know, right for 6, 7, 8 years? No way. No way. That's very few that could do that. And so if you wait till you're now 21, 22, you're more in a range where you can start thinking more seriously about, you know, that relationship and moving into that marital relationship. So I'd advise you to wait till you're a little bit older.
Yeah, I know that we're in a fast-paced society, and everything, you know, we want immediate satisfaction, and we want things yesterday, but take your time. There's no pressure, there's no rush. Get to know other people, and it's always a blessing. So, yes, this is advice from a guy who got married at 19.
Yeah, that's right. You really waited. You waited really well.
Well, 3.5 years, we started dating when I was 16, and then I was a month away from being 20. So we were going into our senior year of college. So
right. Yeah, I was 19, but we lived so far apart. It's like we didn't really date, you know. We only dated a very short period of time together, and through that ended up getting married. So, yeah. Yeah, so take your time, young people. Don't rush into this. or you'll live a life of regret like Ruthie and Denise have.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Hey, let me ask you this, and we'll close out with this today. How would you suggest people meet other people? How do you find other people to date today?
You know, it's really tough because when you have church events for singles, it gets to the place where it's almost lame.
It's awkward.
So that winds up being pretty rough. But you know, people are meeting people on the internet, and. Yeah. And many times it's working, you know, if you're very cautious and very careful and do your due diligence and find out about them. And I'm talking about people in their mid-20s and up, not
right.
necessarily, you know, in the middle of college or something like that. You're generally, you know, somebody's going to cross your path. The Lord's going to bring somebody across your path. Or you go seeking and ask the Lord to, you know, bring somebody across your path. You know, Abraham sent his servant out to find a bride for Isaac. You know, so the Lord is in that, is still doing those kind of things today.
Right. And, you know, we kind of joke about the Be Harmony thing, but, you know, if you're looking for someone, tell your pastor, if you come across a nice guy, I'd be interested in, you know, meeting a nice young man.
Yeah, amen.
Or, you know, your friends. And I think most people still have a friend who introduces you to a friend. And, you know, it's a coworker or whatever, and that's the way to do it. But, yeah, but know this, there are some people that are never going to get married. There are some people that are going to be single when Jesus returns. And you know, we think we don't want to be that person. But, you know, Paul said, hey, if you can give your heart and soul completely to the ministry without the obligation of a spouse, that's not a bad thing. And I know people that have done it. And I will tell you this, most people do not want to die alone. And that's why they want to have someone in their lives. They want companionship, and they want to have somebody in those latter years of life. And so that's a lot of it. So I would say buy a really good dog and keep him healthy for a very long time.
Young ladies out there in Bible college, if a guy's just looking to get married because he has to have a wife to get in the ministry, ditch him and avoid him because... That shouldn't be his motivation. You know, you can try to spiritualize as much as you want, but, you know, sorry, You know, that generally somebody like that is not somebody that you ought to choose.
Yeah, but on the other hand, if you learn to play the piano, that's really going to help you in the dating scene at Bible college. That's always a plus. Well, it's been a great week, and we started out pretty serious and end up usually, as we do, on a lighter note. So for those of you that have asked the question about that dating scene and how to have that right relationship, we hope we gave you something anyways, if nothing else, something to consider on a lighter fare. But it's tough. It's tough today. It's hard to find, especially it's hard to find super good Christian young men. Young ladies, I feel for you. They are not a dime a dozen anymore. They're hard to find, but they're out there, and the Lord knows, and the Lord knows where you're at. And the Lord can direct that person to you. You need to be in prayer, and you need to be living for the Lord, and you need to keep that standard where the right man is the right man for you.
Yeah, amen.
Al Stone. I'm in St. Thomas, Ontario. I am happily married. I've been happily married for 36 years, and I am so because I had a checklist, and my wife checked all the boxes.
This Dan Wolven in Columbus, Ohio. And as always, we appreciate you joining us as we take a slow walk to chaos every week. Monday, pretty every organized. Week. Tuesday, the starts coming off the rails. And by Friday, it's a train wreck. But thanks for coming train and wreck. Watching the damage. You just can't look away.
But after Sunday, you needed something solid. Wednesday, it's starting to get heavy. By Friday, you need a little levity. And we're here to provide that for you. This is Tim Talks. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday once again to carry you through the week. We'll try to do the best we can to provide for you what you need in your life. And please don't break up with us. Keep dating us. We'll try to be a better date next time. This is Tim Talks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.